Let's begin. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, and He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. The blessing of the Lord is already upon His word. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You may be seated, and I'll ask Randy Denny, our elder this month, to come and to pray over the Lord's word.
Forth be with Pastor Tom, Lord. Guide him and protect him, that you will be exalted.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you haven't turned already to Deuteronomy chapter 28, please do so in your Bible. And also there is in the bulletin, or should have been handed to along with the bulletin, the outline that will go along with today's message and the PowerPoint presentation as well. As I was praying and seeking the Lord this week for what message He would have for us, I felt led to tie together the message from my previous several weeks at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where I talked about instructions for an abundant life. Instructions for an abundant life. And I talked there about the different instructions that the Lord gave to us through Paul, and how we are called to follow the Lord, and if we will do that, then He will give us an abundant life. I'd like to maybe step back a little bit and talk about how it's always been this pattern, this practice, this principle of the people of God, that when we obey the Lord, obey His commands, we are blessed. And the opposite is true. When we do not obey the Lord and obey His commands, we are not blessed. And as fathers and mothers, those of us here who are fathers and mothers, as we love to reward our children when they obey and they do well, we like to reward them, don't we? Those of you who already have children that have grown, you all know the times that, you know, you just want to reward that good behavior, you know, something special. There's also those times you just expect your child to obey because it's the right thing to do and you've told them to do it, right? And as a parent, you have that authority. And then there's those times when your children don't obey. They don't obey you. And, you know, then you want to discipline them. You want to help them to understand their need to obey your commands and your instruction. So it is with our Heavenly Father. He loves to reward and bless us when we obey His commands. But when we disobey, well, that's another story. Let's talk about it a little bit. From this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the main point is this. The blessings of God will come upon us as Christ's followers when we walk in obedience to His commands. But if we disobey, we will be cursed. Did that get your attention? I hope so. Wow, that's a strong word there, isn't it? Be cursed. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about that a little bit. For the people of God under the Old Covenant, the word cursed means this. It means that God invokes disaster or misfortune upon you. To be cursed means that God is invoking, He is speaking and declaring that disaster, misfortune, evil will come upon you because it will be the opposite of the blessings that He promises to give for obedience. It's the opposite. Now, fortunately, we today are under a different covenant. Can you say amen? We're not under the old covenant. Thank the Lord. We're under a different covenant. You see, He dealt with the nation of Israel as His people, and He dealt with them a little bit differently. But they were under a different covenant. And He gave this covenant to them, this, and we call it the law, and what we have to understand is the law is really the conditions of the covenant, right? What's the covenant? An agreement. What kind of an agreement? Binding. You bind yourself in this covenant, this agreement. And we reread that all the time. The Lord says, I will be your God if, what? You will obey me. I will be your God and you will be my people if you follow me and you worship no other God and you have no other gods before you. Now, the Lord already knew that, you know, that they couldn't keep this covenant. Isn't that funny? And so we're told in Galatians chapter 3, we're told us that the law was given to be a tutor or a teacher to lead us to Christ. What does he mean by that? He means that the covenant was given, the law was given to show us that we couldn't do it. That we couldn't keep the covenant. We couldn't do it, and I won't take the time to go into it, but over and over again, I like reading through the Old Testament, it makes me laugh. Because number one, it reminds me of myself. And number two, it's people are hilarious, you know? I mean, you know, time and time again, Moses, the Lord sends Moses to the people of God, and, you know, he says to them, you know, you wicked, stiff-necked people, I'm going to give you one more chance. And, okay, you've got to be my people, you've got to obey me, here's what you need to do, and he lays out the law for them. We all know the law. The foremost of it being the Ten Commands. And what do the people do? Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, we will obey you. We will keep your commands. Where's that idol? Right? Moses goes up on the mountain for a few days, and what do they say? Well, Aaron, we don't know where this fella Moses went to. Isn't it interesting that they used to call him, you know, the prophet of God? before when he was doing all the miracles and signs and wonders, led them out of Egypt, split the Red Sea, and oh, the prophet of God. Oh yes, thank you Lord. And all of a sudden, he's gone up on the mountain for a few days. Oh, we don't know about that fellow Moses. Where'd he go? Aaron, make us a god that we can worship. And what does Aaron do? He molds the golden calf out of the gold that the people gave him. And they say, this, Israel, is your God. This is the God that has led you out of Egypt. And I don't know about you, but that cracks me up. I mean, it's so sad that it makes you cry on the one hand, but you have to laugh. Because it's also a picture of us. It's a picture of us and ourselves are prone to wander, prone to sin in and of ourselves. And so the Lord already knew this. He gave the covenant to them, and then He understands that they're going to break this covenant. And we're told that in Jeremiah chapter 31, right? He says, guess what? I'm going to send you a new covenant. I'm going to give you a new covenant because you broke the old one. And so we're under this new covenant. And so Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 is an explanation of how God solved this issue of the old covenant through Christ. So Dale Brady is going to read that passage for us. Dale?
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
So Christ became that curse for us. Do you see it? For those who disobey the law, they're cursed. And more specifically, anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. Christ becomes the curse for us. And He takes the punishment for us. He takes the results and the consequences of our sin and disobedience upon Himself. And so now He sets us free so that we can worship God through the Spirit. Now, let's unpack this a little bit together. You see, God knew that the people of God would not keep His commands. He knows that they are weak. He knows that they are sinful, prone to sin. And so He had a plan from eternity past. He had a plan to send His Son, clothed in flesh, who would live a perfect, sinless, righteous life for us, and then take our sins upon Himself, the curse of the law upon Himself, take our penalty, sin, and death upon Himself, but then God raised Him back to life. And God raised Him to life to show us that He is His Son, number one. Number two, watch this, so that we could receive forgiveness and His righteousness, and most importantly, or very importantly, I should say, the gift, the promise of His Spirit. The promise of His Spirit. You see, the difference between you and me and the people of God under the old covenant is that the Spirit of God now comes to live in us. And He, first of all, makes the righteous requirements of the law fulfilled in us because we follow Christ, we trust in Him, not ourselves. And then He gives us actual power, actual authority to follow God and obey His commands. He does. It's literal. It's true. The Spirit of Christ comes to dwell in us. You can say amen. That is unbelievable. That the Spirit of God lives in you and me. How is that possible? We don't know, but Jesus said it would be, and it indeed is. We're going to look at that in John chapter 14 in just a moment. But let me ask you a question. Have you become a Christ follower yet? Have you come to embrace Christ, as we talked about that in communion? Have we come to the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us this promise of the Spirit, and the Spirit writes the laws and the commands unto our minds and into our hearts so that we want to follow? We follow because we want to, not because we must. And this is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. It tells us that He writes the law upon our heart. He writes the commands upon our mind by the Spirit. The Spirit actually reprograms us. Maybe put it in computer language. Reprograms, reformats us, puts this into our hearts and mind. And this is a fulfillment from Jeremiah 31, verse 33. Now that's another sermon that I have preached on, but I won't do a tangent and preach on it today. Have you become a Christ follower? Have you come and received that promise of the Spirit so that you can follow God and live for Him and be blessed because you're obeying? You're being blessed because you're obeying. Well, how do we become Christ followers? Just as I said, you come and you embrace Jesus Christ. You trust in Him. You put your faith in Him. And you become now part of the people of God. Just as the people of God in that day had become the people of God, there was a way that they did that, right? If you flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and we see how Moses says to them, okay, you've now become the people of God. Let's see here. I'm going to read that. Chapter 27, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Then Moses and the priests, who are Levites, said to the Israelite, to all Israel, 'Be silent, O Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord and follow His commands and decrees that I give you today.'" And so they became the people of God at that point, because we know that this is a renewing of the covenant, right? Deuteronomy means second law. It's a renewing of the covenant. The first covenant, it's really the same covenant, but the first giving of the covenant, He gave to the people that He led out of Egypt under Moses, brought them out in the wilderness, let them wander around a while. You know what that was? That was the trial period, right? That was the probationary period. You know, you start a new job, and you have 30 days probation on your new job, right? Well, this was 30 days probation on the new on the old covenant. God says to them, "I want you to be my people. I want you to follow me, obey me. Don't turn to other false gods, because you are bearing my holy name. You're going to be my people." Well, we know the people of God broke that. They broke it. It's numerous times, over and over again, they broke it. And so God gets fed up with them. Do you know that God can get fed up with us? Oh yeah, He can get tired. He says, "You stiff-necked people." He said, "You won't obey me, you won't follow me, so now I'm going to let you wander around in the desert, because you would not believe me, you would not trust me. You started to grumble, you started to complain, you wanted to go back to Egypt." And so He lets that generation die off. And so now there's a new generation of really with children. And they have grown up into adults. And now He says to them, "We're going to renew this covenant." And this is the giving, second giving of the covenant. And they now become the people of God. They all say, "Yes, we will obey the Lord. We will follow you." They became the people of God. So in the same way, we become the people of God as Christ's followers. Because God has given the new covenant in Christ, and this is how you now become part of the family of God, part of the people of God through the new covenant. You and I have become the people of God. And so now, if we're going to be the people of God, we are called to obey and follow the Lord. Why? Number one, we bear His name. We bear His name. He does not want His name misrepresented amongst the nations and amongst the people. He does not want that. He wants His name, which is holy, to be represented correctly. And that's why He says, "You be holy as I am holy," says the Lord. It's repeated in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it was repeated back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. "Be holy as I, the Lord, am holy." And so we are called to be a holy people. Well, there's some commands that we're called to obey. And this is really kind of introductory still. But John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. And Jim McKay is going to read that for us.
"If you love me, you will obey what I command."
I think that microphone, maybe the battery is dying.
"And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because he neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be with you."
Amen. Would you put it back, Jim, to verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, there's an assumption here. There's an assumption that you have become one of the people of God. Because if you come and you love Jesus, first of all, there's only one way to love Him. You know, you don't love Him on your own terms. You love Him on Jesus' terms. And He says, if you're going to be my disciples, if you love me, then here's what I command. Obey it. Now, He doesn't just say obey it and leave it at that, does He? He says, no. Obey what I command, but here's what I'm going to do for you. Verse 16. I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to give you another Counselor to be with you forever. See, Jesus is leaving. And we know the disciples were really upset about that, right? In fact, you know, Peter, he went as far as almost to rebuke the Lord. Remember? When Jesus started telling him, you know, I'm going up to Jerusalem, and there, you know, the Gentiles are going to crucify me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to mock me. They're going to crucify me. But then I will rise 3 days. And Peter turns and he's like almost rebuking the Lord. And Jesus turns and says, you know, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. And you know, the disciples were really upset that it wasn't going according to their plan. Jesus has a plan. Now that he's given his life as a sacrifice, now he's leaving. You know? And actually, beginning of chapter 14, he started talking about the fact that he's leaving. And the disciples are very upset. They're like, Lord, where are you going? Now, before we get too hard on, down on the disciples, think about this with you and me there. Okay? Jesus has been with us for 3 years. He's been teaching us. He's been, you know, doing miraculous things amongst us. He's been touching our hearts. He's been showing us how to live for God. He's been showing us how to exercise the power of God and the authority that God has given us to Him, to us through Him. And then He says, guys, I'm getting ready to leave. How would you feel? What would you think? You and I would be doing the same thing. You'd be like, what? Jesus? What are you doing? What are you talking about? We would be the same way. And Jesus says to them, you don't understand right now, but it is better that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come. The Comforter, the gift that my Father has promised will not come. You see, Jesus was limited. Though He was the Son of God, He was limited in that He took on flesh. He could only be at one place in one time. He could only minister to a certain limited number of people. He did tremendous ministry, and He ministered to thousands, but, you know, there's millions, billions of people now. And so He had this plan. He says, I'm going to send you the Comforter. Go to verse 17. This Counselor is going to be with you, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept Him, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit's going to be in you. No longer just amongst you. The Holy Spirit was just among the people of God before, but now He actually indwells us, those who have received Christ as their Savior. He indwells us. He comes to live in us. And Jesus says earlier in chapter 13, He says, you know, a new command I'm going to give to you. Love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, how many of you know how difficult that is to do? That's a difficult task right there, isn't it? And I think that's why it's right on the heels of this command that He gives us the promise of the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to obey my commands. But understand, it's not going to be done in your own power. No, it's going to be through the new life by the way of the Spirit. And so, as we are people of God, we're called to follow Jesus' commands. And it begins with two big ones. Love Him, and follow and obey Him, and then love one another. I don't know about you, but that's a lot for me to try and deal with right there. You know, that alone. And then you add a lot of other commands. And guess what? They're not suggestions. You know, the terms of the Old Covenant were not the 10 suggestions. You know, and the commands, you know, that's why Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. He doesn't say, if you love me, obey me if you feel like it. Or if you think it's a good idea. He doesn't give us that option, you see. And you know, I don't know about you, but I find myself often arguing with God. It's like, God, you know, I know you told me to do this, but, you know, I just don't think that's such a good idea. Well, guess what? He's really not too interested in our opinion. He's really not too interested in, you know, whether we think it's a good idea or not. There's a reason He's given us these commands. Number one, it's because of His holy name. His commands help us to reflect His holy name. And number two, it actually does bring blessing upon us. And it's the only way that He can bless us. He wants to bless us, but He can only do it as we obey. So let's look for just a couple more minutes at how it works under the new covenant. Number one then, God blesses and rewards us when we obey His commands. God blesses and rewards us as we obey His commands. Let's take just a couple of examples. Just a couple of examples. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, which, by the way, the Sermon on the Mount is a cluster of teachings that talk about kingdom life. How we are to live in the kingdom of God as His follower, so that we can be blessed by God and bring honor and glory to His name. So, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, reads this. He's talking to the issue of giving to those in need. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You see, there is a blessing of reward when we give as the Lord has commanded us to give. You see, He's commanded us, watch this, you still with me? Say amen. He challenges us to give to Him, right? Honor the Lord with the tithe, with the first fruit of your increase. Okay? That's another sermon. But we are challenged to honor the Lord with the tithe, the first 10% of the increase that He gives to us. By the way, that's before taxes. Anybody's asking that question? It's before taxes. So, we're to honor the Lord. Then He says, give to the needy. Give to those that are in need. Bless those who are in need. That's part of our calling as the people of God. And He says, guess what? If you do it in the right heart, in the right way, that I'm telling you how to do it, you're going to get blessed. You're going to be rewarded. The Father who sees in secret is going to reward you. Now, I am not saying, please do not mix me up with the health and wealth prosperity teachers. I'm not saying that God's going to return that money to you 100-fold. He might, if He wants to, see the desires, but He may not. He may, after you obey, He may let you struggle a little bit. What's wrong with struggling? Why should we not learn to struggle and to be content with what we have? In just a couple of moments, we're going to talk about when we disobey, how the Lord chastens and disciplines us. You know? I think this whole prosperity teaching is completely wrong in its motivation. Why are you giving? Are you giving to honor the Lord? No, you're not giving. You're honoring, you're giving to get back. Right? It's the wrong motivation. The Lord will bless you when you give, but I'm not giving expecting the Lord to give it all back to me. Now, if He so desires to, I will receive that blessing. Thank you, Lord. I will receive that. But that should not be the motivation of why we do it. We do it because we want to honor the Lord, right? Honor the Lord with your giving. Honor Him. We don't give to get back from it. So, from the Lord. So the Father sees us and sees what's done in secret, and He will reward you. You see it? Let's move to another one. Verses 5 through 8 on the issue of prayer. And when you pray, by the way, it doesn't say if you pray, does it? When you pray, All of us ought to be in that practice of prayer. We talked about that last week. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You see that? Jesus challenges us many, many times. He says, pray. Pray and ask the Father. Pray and bless others. Pray and ask the Father for your needs, because your Father knows your needs even before you ask it. Pray and ask Him. Ask, seek, knock. But when you do that, don't do it with the wrong motivation. Don't pray the prayer so that everybody can see how spiritual you are. That's what the Pharisees of the day were doing, the hypocrites. They prayed on the street corners to be seen by men. And the Lord says what? They've received what? Their reward already. But He says, go into your room, into the secret place, where only your Father can seek you, see you, and then your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Well, how will He reward you? I'm not sure. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that He's going to reward you certain ways. No. I'll let God be God. And He'll reward you as He desires to reward you, not as I tell you. And as His Word tells us, number one, He's going to reward you with His presence. Oh, you're going to have a rich, rich fellowship and communion with God in His presence. Number one. Number two, you're going to have a confidence and assurance that God hears your prayers and that He is working and that He will answer according to His will. Not yours, not mine. That's His assurance. And so those are just a couple of examples. Time doesn't allow us to go over many, many of these. But all throughout Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, there are numerous areas talks about fasting, talks about dealing with conflict in the family, and how you will not be blessed if you don't deal with conflict. But rather, you go to that person and you resolve that conflict with the love of Christ. It talks about having love for your enemies, those who oppose you. It talks about treasures in heaven. It talks about don't worry. Whew, there's a strong one. Don't worry. It talks about judging others and so on and so forth. Many areas here, and this is just Matthew. Areas that God wants us to obey Him so that He can bless us and that He will reward us in our lives. But number two, and all of us deal with this because all of us fail, don't we? You like me? And do you fail when it comes to obeying the Lord and obeying His commands? I sure do. Fail all the time. And I'm so thankful that we have a gracious and compassionate God that doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. But, number two, God does discipline and chastise us when we disobey His commands. See, I tricked you a little bit. When I said that you were cursed, and my main point, I have to redefine that word cursed now, because God treats us as sons and daughters. He doesn't treat us as He did under the old covenant. No. But there is still consequences, and there are responsibilities that come with wrong choices and disobeying the Lord. So we're not cursed because in Christ, He took that curse for us. But we do receive the consequences of our sins. We do receive the outcome when we break God's command. And God also disciplines and chastises us to teach us, to correct us, to help us to grow. You see, He's treating us as sons and daughters so that we will become more and more like His Son Jesus. God teaches us, allows us to suffer the consequences of our choices, the consequences when we break His commands. He allows us. Now, because God is so gracious and compassionate, you know, there's times I actually kind of try to bargain with God. What I mean is this, that I know, and we all do, don't we, when we've broken God's command. You know, and it's not just one of the 10 big ones, right? It's that moment the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the Holy Spirit is now living in me, right? And, you know, someone who has said something to us, they come at us and they're, you know, they're pretty ticked off, and they come at us kind of jacked up a little bit, and that Holy Spirit moment that says, hold your peace. Hold your peace. But what do? Just right back at them, right? And you had that Holy Spirit moment when the Holy Spirit was telling you, hold your peace. Don't respond. Jesus said it. Don't respond in like manner. Do not return evil for evil, but rather return good. Bless those. Now that is so hard, isn't it? And y'all don't struggle with that, do you? You don't struggle with that. It is so hard sometimes, isn't it? It's our default mode. We react instead of stepping back and exercising Holy Spirit self-control. And you know what that means sometimes? This is what it means. That's what it means sometimes. And I'm not very good at it. But sometimes you just have to ask the Lord, Lord, shut my mouth. Just help me to shut my mouth because I'm about to say something that I shouldn't. I got one amen out of all this. Woo! I don't know what that average is. That's a batting average. Amen. Amen. For all of us. And so, you know, when we do things like that, then, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us and help us in that issue. I know most of us are like, oh, Lord, you know, I can handle this, Lord. I don't need you to get involved on this one. You know, it's kind of like a job, you know, when you mess up, you know, and the supervisor got to get involved. And you're like, listen, how about you and I get this worked out here? We don't need to bring the supervisor in on this. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is always in on it. Because if He's in you, you already know He's at work. He is molding us, conforming us to the image of Christ. And so Hebrews chapter 12, and Randy read that for us earlier, but we're going to read it again. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Jonathan Blackburn will read that for us.
In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Endure hardship with discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Amen. So, the Lord wants to train us through the discipline, through the chastisement, through the punishment at times that He allows in our lives. He doesn't just do it because He's vengeful. He doesn't do it because He's wrathful. He always does it with the purpose of our good in mind, our holiness, our growing. He does it for our growing. He does not want us to stay the same. You see, and as we grow in Christ, then we encounter issues about ourselves. See, I wish it was, you know, like when you first come to Christ, and everything is just marvelous and glorious, isn't it? You come to Christ and your sins are forgiven. You receive that glorious salvation in Christ, and wow, I'm saved. I've received the gift of eternal life, and everything's wonderful, you know? And then the Lord just begins to show you yourself. Little by little, He begins to show you how sinful we are. Little by little, layer by layer. And He wants to deal with those things. And, you know, as we try to obey His commands and we fail, you know, He is a loving Heavenly Father. He's loving. He does not do it to hurt us, but rather to help us. And so, as we talk about the commands of the Lord, which, you know, really, the Holy Spirit makes those commands understandable to us. He teaches us, walks us through this little by little. And you encounter those things in your life. And as we do that, I'm going to close with this. I want to challenge us this morning. Commit yourself to obey the commands of the Lord. Set your heart to it. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Don't set yourself to the commands of the Lord because, you know, well, if I don't do this, you know, I'm not going to be blessed. You know, I'll do this because that's what you tell me I have to do, Lord. You know, if you have that attitude, I'm telling you, you're already defeated. But if you have that attitude, be honest. Be honest with the Lord. First of all, He already knows, doesn't He? He already knows if you have an attitude in the heart like that. You're not fooling anybody. You know? So what do? You cry out to the Lord. You say, Lord, I don't even want to obey You in this area. Please change my heart. I ask You, Spirit of God, to change me. Begin to give me a desire to obey. And if it's a particular area, begin to give me that desire. I remember, this is several years back, I was preaching on tithing, and Ed Chester came up and gave a testimony about how God had dealt with him on this issue of tithing. I don't know if you all remember that, but I remember Eddie stood right here, and it was funny because you could just see the emotion and the angst in his voice as he talked about how he struggled with giving his tithe, his offering to the Lord. And he said, you know, he'd come Sunday mornings and the plate would come around and he'd be like so angry. And he would put that check in there and just kind of slam it in there. He didn't want to do it. And then he testified how he just got to the Lord and he said, Lord, I don't want to be like this. I want to give because I want to, not because I have to. And I just ask You to change my heart. And guess what? God changed his heart. He changed his heart. But how did He change it? Through obedience. Through obedience. Sometimes you have to do what your flesh doesn't want to do. You got to do it. And as you do it, as you walk in that obedience, God begins to change your heart. And so it's okay to be honest with God, but He's going to be honest with you. And He's going to work to change your heart. It might be through some discipline, some punishment. It'll be painful, just like it says right here. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. For what? Those who are trained by it. And so Jesus says to each one of us today, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. And we each, in our own hearts, have to choose how it's going to go. Now, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, and He loves us. He loves us. And He gives us grace and mercy. Aren't you glad for the grace and mercy of God? Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray first for anyone who is here that does not yet know You as their Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus. And I ask, Father, You will be drawing their heart to You, and that they would open themselves to You. They would embrace You and know You as Lord and Savior, be forgiven and given that gift of eternal life, and very importantly, receive that promise, that gift of the Holy Spirit to live in them. And then, Father, for each one of us, we all struggle in this issue, but Lord, we want to honor You. We want to honor You, Lord, and we want to represent You in our life. And Lord, we want to be blessed because we want to be an example to others around us that as we follow You, You are a good God, and You bless us. And Lord, those times when we mess up, we thank You for the discipline. We thank You that You don't just leave us alone to ourselves, Lord, but You lovingly speak to us and discipline us. You draw us back to Yourself. Your Holy Spirit never, never gives up. If there's anyone here today, and maybe you feel like you're just too far away from God, there's no hope or no help for you, please understand, His Holy Spirit will come and be in you, and His promise is He will never leave you and never forsake you. Your promise is, Lord, that even if we are faithless, You are faithful. So, Lord, thank You for that promise. Minister to each one of us in our hearts today, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. We're going to close the service, and any of you who want to be anointed and prayed for physical healing, or any need at all, please come and see us at the front, and we'd love to pray with you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of this day.